Love my little digital voice recorder. Oh, praise the Lord. Hymn number 60, and we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth, and I love the words to this hymn, because I don't know about you, but I need to be led by my shepherd, because I don't do a very good job of leading my own life. He does a much better job. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm one of his sheep. I'm so thankful that on October 3rd, in 1986, I became one of Jesus' sheep. He became my shepherd so that I can say the Lord is my shepherd and he leadeth me. Glory to God. Hymn number 60. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Praise the Lord. Like a shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, thou hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
Praise the Lord, people. Please be seated. We'll sing again after. Oh, what a blessing that he loves us. And he loves us unconditionally, amen? I'm glad that my performance does not depend, his love doesn't depend upon my performance, that he loves me unconditionally. Oh, that's a great thing to know. I always say, there's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do that'll make him love you less, because his love is unconditional. That's how marriage is. Marriage is based on unconditional love. And that's so important. The Lord teaches us that. All right, let's grab our Bibles this morning. Anybody need a Bible? We have pew Bibles if anybody needs one. And let's open up to the book of Acts this morning. I want you to get the book of Acts, chapter number 7, in one hand, Acts 7, and in the other hand, get Genesis chapter 39, Genesis 39, and in the other hand, oh, you only got two hands. Acts 7, Genesis 39. If we have a third reference, you'll use your foot.
Somebody
Yeah, there's a back door, but we they keep it locked, you know. You can open.
I just heard the back door open.
That wouldn't be ours. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 7. And let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning in Acts 7 and in Genesis 39. Praise the Lord. Stephen here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching up a barn burner. He's before the Sanhedrin, and he's preaching from Abraham all the way to the cross. And he's trying to show the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the religious hierarchy of Israel that they missed the boat, that Messiah has come, amen, and that they didn't recognize him. And so he's telling them, starting with the man Abraham, look with me in Acts chapter 7 at verse number 8, speaking of God and Abraham, and he gave him, Abraham, the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph, their brother, into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him, Joseph, governor over Egypt and all his house. Notice, God was with Joseph in Egypt. Back now to Genesis chapter 39, a parallel passage speaking of the same event. We read in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Yeah, they sold him into slavery. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, Joseph here is facing some serious adversity, church. Amen? And I want you to notice here in verse 1 that not only did his brothers sell him to the Ishmaelites, but the Ishmaelites haul him down to Egypt, and they sell him to Potiphar, an Egyptian lord. And so he's a slave. Amen? He's facing adversity. And I want to speak to you briefly this morning on overcoming adversity. Overcoming adversity. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you that though each of us in our lives will face adversity, we can overcome it through the grace of our Lord and Savior. And Father, we thank you that for the shining example of the man Joseph in the Bible, that Joseph faced tremendous adversity, and yet he came through shining like gold. Lord, you, the Bible says there in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, but the Lord was with him. You were with him in the midst of his adversity, and Lord, you brought him through. We thank you, Lord, that we can depend upon you like Joseph to bring us through whatever it is we're facing in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for your grace today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Adversity. An event or series of events which oppose success or desire, misfortune, calamity, affliction, distress, troubles, tribulation. Adversity is what one faces when being opposed, either by people or circumstances, from achieving goals or desires in their life. Let me repeat that. Adversity is what one faces when being opposed, either by people or circumstances, from achieving goals or desires in their life. So we all face adversity, don't we? And we all need God's grace to get through that adversity, and we need to learn how to overcome it. And I'm so glad that the Bible tells us how. Now, this morning, let me say this. Every single child of God will face adversity in their life at various times. In fact, I would venture to say that some of us here this morning are either facing adversity today or just have come out of some form of adversity or are heading into some form of adversity in our life. Why? Because we're human and we all face adverse situations. Now, the question this morning is not whether or not we will find ourselves in the middle of adversity. We will. But the question is, what are we going to do when we are going through that adversity in our life? And how are we going to overcome it? I believe that God wants to teach us through the life of Joseph this morning how we too can be overcoming adversity. Let me give you a few things. First, go with me, Hold your place in Genesis and go with me to Proverbs. A couple of verses by laying a foundation here. Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs chapter 24, there's an amazing verse. The Holy Spirit records through Solomon's pen in Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse number 10. Proverbs 24, 10. If thou faint, that's pass out. A lot of Christians today are passed out spiritually. They've fainted. If thou faint in the day of what?
Adversity.
Thy strength is small. God wants to increase your strength so that when you and I go through adversity, we'll come through it successfully. We won't be defeated by it. We won't pass out. We won't faint. We'll stand strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes. Flip over to Ecclesiastes, just after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Adversity is something that we all face. It wasn't a strange thing to Joseph. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look with me at verse number 13. Solomon, the preacher, writes, consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? He says, you can't fight against God. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of what?
Adversity,
consider. God also had set the one over against the other. Why? Why would God do that? To the end that man should find nothing after him. Did you see what that said in verse 14? God is the one that brings adversity. Why? That, look at it, verse 14. To the end, or to this purpose, that man should find nothing after God. In other words, God is trying to get us to look up. When we're going through difficulties, when we're going through trials and heartaches and sorrows and sufferings, God wants to get our attention. Amen? And if we're not giving him our attention, he'll find ways of getting it. He's good at that. Adversity. Adversity comes, but it says God sets the one, prosperity, over against the other, adversity. See? You get both in this life. But the intention of both is for us to find God and to seek him. Now, let me give you some steps for overcoming adversity. Step number one, to overcome adversity, listen, overcoming adversity is knowing that God is with you in whatever your situation or circumstance might be. Back to our text, and we're going to use Genesis chapter 39 for our text. Genesis chapter 39. The first step to overcoming adversity is knowing that God is with you in that situation. Look at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was what? With him. The Lord was with Joseph. Notice that. Genesis 39 verse 2. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was what? Did you catch that? Listen, when you're going through trouble, people are going to know that God is with you. No matter what you're going through, they're going to know, hey, that guy knows God. That gal, God is with her. I know there's something about her, something about that person. God is with them. Look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, this is an unbeliever, a reprobate, idolater, Potiphar, down in Egypt. Yet he knows that the living God is with Joseph and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Potiphar recognized that Joseph knew God. And Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph's presence in his house there. Now, the first step to overcoming adversity is knowing that God is with us when we're going through it, no matter how bad my situation might look. I can look up and know that Jesus is in control. Amen? I'm so glad of that, because if he wasn't, I'd be in deep water. Now, George Young wrote, God leads us along in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Amen. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest, joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. Why? He's with me. He's with me no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through. I can depend upon my God. George Young, the great hymn writer, God leads his dear children along. I love it. Something else, though, I want you to notice concerning overcoming adversity. And that is this. Overcoming adversity means accepting the circumstance that God is allowing me to be in. Amen? Here's a big one. We need to learn to accept whatever situation God allows in our lives. Look what back in Genesis chapter 39. Look at verse number 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made, you see that? Joseph is not pouting. Joseph is not, oh, God's forsaken me. God's so mean and cruel. No, Joseph isn't down at all. It says here he submits to Potiphar. Why? Because he knew that God put him in that situation. Look at verse 4. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he, Potiphar, made him, Joseph, overseer over all his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Joseph was promoted because he submitted to the situation God had him in. Are you listening? And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Why? Because, listen to me, Joseph accepted the situation that the Lord allowed him to be in. And oh, folks, how we need to learn to accept whatever situation. Yes, I work third shift at GE. It's overnight and it's tough staying awake. I got to drink a lot of caffeine, you know. But it's the job that God has for me right now. I need to accept that and I need to do it joyfully. And don't you know, he blesses me with messages for you all while I'm at work in the God shack. Praise the Lord. We need to accept these situations that he allows us in. Now, I recently read of an only survivor of a shipwreck who landed on an uninhabited island. He built himself a straw hut to live in, and he began to pray to God for deliverance. Every day he'd go down to the shore to look for passing ships, but none ever came. So he kept praying for deliverance. One day, after hunting for food, he returned to his hut, horrified to find that it had burnt to the ground by an unquenched ember from his morning fire. And as the poor man crouched down and began to weep and to cry, he prayed and said, "Why, Lord? Why has this happened to me? Why have you put me into this circumstance?" And later that day, he walked down to the shore considering jumping in and ending his life. Just about that time, he saw a ship coming toward the island. And when it came to shore, the man asked, "How did you know? How did you know I was here?" To which the captain replied, "We saw your smoke signal." "We saw your smoke signal, bud." God burnt his straw hut down to get him saved. And you know, he's out there, "I just want to die. My straw hut that I built is burnt down." He got saved, you know. Hey, folks, we need to accept the situation we find ourselves in because God has a reason for it. God has a reason for it. Thirdly, overcoming adversity means recognizing your vulnerability to temptation when you're going through that trial and through that trouble. You know what I said? Overcoming adversity, this is an important one, means recognizing our vulnerability to temptation when we're going through the fire. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Whoa! Here is Joseph, a young, healthy, red-blooded Jew, right? He's a young man. He's single. And look, he's tempted to sin in verse 7. Potiphar's wife comes to him. And I'm sure he was a very handsome guy. So she says she cast her eyes upon him, said, "Lie with me, Joseph. Have sex with me," right? Now look at verse 8. But he, what?
Refused.
Joseph refused. Now look at it. And said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And now I love what Joseph says to her. He says, You are my master's wife. He points to the fact that she is out of bounds, right? She is not available. She's saying, you are not available. You're married. Verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 9 shows us the reason why Joseph wouldn't go with her. Because he cared more about obeying God than his own sexual pleasures. You hear what I said? We got to come to the point, folks, where God is more important than our own desires. And this is an important lesson for overcoming adversity. Because when we're going through difficult situations, we're more vulnerable to sin. And the devil knows our weaknesses. And the devil will tempt us right where we're weak. And right at the point of vulnerability, he will tempt. Now, this is important to understand that the enemy is crafty. Author and naturalist John Burroughs reports that when a hawk, the highest flying of all birds, is attacked by crows or kingbirds, he does not make a counterattack, but soars higher and higher in ever-widening circles until his tormentors leave him alone. They can't fly that high. Listen, that's how we need to respond to temptation, by rising higher and higher spiritually above it. Amen? God has grace for you, and God will sustain you if you look to him. Along the banks of the Amazon River, there lives a species of a large, colorful, poisonous spider. When one of these creatures spreads itself out, it looks exactly like the blossom of a brilliant, beautiful flower. Bees and other insects lighting upon it expect to find sweet honey. Instead, the spider secretes a poison that drugs them and eventually kills them before they are consumed. Sin will consume you. Sin will kill you. Sin is poisonous, like that spider, and it's deadly. That's how temptation is. It appears as a beautiful blossoming rose, but actually it contains the deadly poison of sin's effects and its results, which are not good. You know what? You can be going through the worst possible problem you've ever faced in your life, but if you stay close to the Lord and your heart is right and clean and surrendered to him, you can have the most incredible peace despite your situation. Listen, the only thing that can rob you of God's perfect peace is if you yield to temptation and sin. Did you hear what I said? There's only one thing that can destroy the peace of a Christian. That's sin. That's why Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. He said, nope, how could I do this great wickedness against my God and sin against him? Now, something else, overcoming adversity. In adversity, expect to suffer for righteousness' sake. Joseph did. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 we read, And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She didn't give up. Verse 12. And she, Potiphar's wife, caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now that's a good thing to do. When temptation comes knocking, get out. Flee. Get away from it. Verse 13. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she went and told Potiphar that he tried to rape her. She lied. Folks, listen to me. Joseph did the right thing. And guess what? He's going to suffer for it. He's going in the dungeon now. Why? Because she lied about him because she couldn't get her way. Now, this is an important lesson. And Joseph says, I'd rather be in the lowest dirty dungeon with God than in the pleasures of sin without him. Amen? That's a good point right there. I love it. An ancient tribute to early Christians. There was found a 3rd century AD letter written to one Donatius, which shows the remarkable life of the early Christians. And I quote, If I should ascend some high mountain, you know what I would see? Armies fighting, brigands on the highways, pirates on the seas, men murdered in the amphitheater to please the applauding multitudes. But in the midst of all this, I have found a quiet and holy people. They are persecuted, but they care not. They have found a joy 1,000 times greater than any pleasure of this world. These peculiar people are the masters of their own souls. They are the Christians, and I, sir, am one of them. He got saved because he saw the peace of the of God's people going through those trials. Yeah, Nero was burning them at the stake, chopping their heads off, and they had a perfect peace, and he saw it, and he wanted it. Amen? Sometimes there's a price to pay for living for Jesus, folks, and doing the right thing, living a sanctified life. The question is, are you willing to suffer for righteousness' sake? Are you willing to endure a little hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Hey, my son is in the army. He just came home from a deployment. He had marching orders. Amen? You are in the Lord's army, Christian. And you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, Paul said. And Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what the problem today is? We got a bunch of people that are saved. They're on their way to heaven. They're born again. But they're AWOL, absent without leave. They're not following the captain's orders. And Captain Jesus says, will you work for me in my vineyard? Will you be faithful to my calling? Folks, it's so important in these last days to stick with the Lord and be faithful. In overcoming adversity, something else. Don't depend upon people to get you out of your situation. You all know that's the truth. Look with me here in Genesis chapter 40. In Genesis chapter 40, look at verse 23. What happens here? Joseph is in the dungeon because Potiphar's wife lied about him. He ends up in the dungeon and he meets two guys in there, a baker and a butler. The butler has a dream and he says, Joseph, can you interpret my dream for me? And Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. The Holy Spirit would give him the interpretation, right? So he says, yeah, I'll tell you what it means. And God showed Joseph it meant that the baker was going to be beheaded in 3 days, and the butler was going to be restored to his place of butlery. And he said, I interpreted your dream. He said, just do me one favor. Please speak to Pharaoh for me when you come back to your place of service. Tell him there's a man, an innocent man in the dungeon named Joseph. He says, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll take care of you. I'll speak a good word for you. So look at verse 23. And verse 22, he restored the chief butler. Verse 21, unto his butlership again, just like Joseph said. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to him. And yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. That's chapter 40, verse 23. 40, 23. See that in verse 23? He forgot all about Joseph when he got restored to his position of leadership. See that? Why? Because you can't depend on people. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I do it. You know, I bend over backwards for you. I do everything I can to help you. I love you, folks. I'm your pastor. But I might let you down. I got somebody who won't. I got somebody who can't let you down. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Joseph knew that though he couldn't rely on that butler, the Lord was with him. And the Lord would get him out of that adversity, even though the butler forsook him and didn't say a word for him. Charles Spurgeon tells of the famous Greek philosopher Strabo. He has said, Strabo once wrote about a great musician who was playing in a public amphitheater before a great crowd of people. The musician thought surely he was holding his audience spellbound to his lovely music. But after a while, the market bell rang, and instantly all but one person rushed out of the amphitheater to buy goods at the market. The musician stopped playing, turned to his solitary admirer, and complimented him for preferring good music over good merchandise from the market. Master, the old man said, speak up, I'm hard of hearing. Did you say the market bell has rung? Why, yes, but why? And as the old man was running out, the musician yelled, thanks for coming. He couldn't hear the bell, but when he told him it rang, he was gone too. Why? You can't depend on people. People will let you down. People will flee when the bell rings, right? Time to watch my favorite television show. Or time to go to the ball game. Time to go to the bowling league, you know. And they'd abandon you. You know, that's how people are. Just when you need them the most, you look around and they're all gone. But folks, don't feel bad. Jesus was forsaken. The Bible says in Matthew 27, down around verse 41, and they all forsook him and fled. They all forsook him, even John, the beloved. Wow. I'm so glad that my Savior has suffered adversity and I can suffer it by His grace. Don't depend on people to get you out of your adversity. The arm of flesh will fail you. Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm not going to trust in America's nukes. Those nukes won't help you against the living God. Amen. Psalm 118 verse 8, middle verse of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's a good verse right there. Don't put any confidence in men. They'll let you down, but the Lord won't. The Lord won't. You can get through adversity because God is with you. He will not let you down. Something else, though, this morning, considering overcoming adversity. Listen carefully. Overcoming adversity means forgiving all those who have wronged you. Overcoming adversity means forgiving those who put you into adversity. Look with me here in chapter 50 of Genesis. Chapter 50. Here's an incredible passage. Joseph was sold into Egypt by his own brothers, right? And his brothers knew they were guilty. Look what he says here in Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. And verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren, you know, those ones that sold him into slavery. First of folks, before they sold him into slavery, they were trying to murder him. They cast him into a pit and put blood on his coat to show his father that he was dead. And then these guys, these Ishmaelites, come along and said, hey, you know, maybe we should let him live and we'll just make him a slave. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And when Joseph's brethren, those guys, saw that their father was dead, Jacob, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us, that's repay us, all the evil which we did unto him. They expected for Joseph to take revenge on them because they did him wrong, right? Verse 16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph. What's the next word?
Forgive.
Jacob wanted Joseph to forgive his brothers, but guess what? Jacob didn't have to tell him that. Joseph was a man of God. Verse 17, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, that's for sure. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Those are tears of love, folks. Look at it. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Listen to the words of Joseph. You guys did me wrong, but God had a plan in it. God had a reason for it, boys. Verse 21, now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a passage. You know what he did? He forgave them. But folks, I got news for you. It wasn't in verse 21 that he forgave them. It was way back there in chapter 39 when they sold them into slavery. Joseph didn't hold a grudge against his brothers. Joseph wasn't bitter. Unforgiveness will make you bitter and ugly and mean and nasty. Forgiveness will make you peaceable and joyful. And it will release that burden. Oh, it's so important to forgive, folks. So important. 2 Corinthians 2:10, Paul said, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Why, Paul? Lest Satan should get an advantage against us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul said, forgive. Forgive, or the devil will have a stronghold in your life. And it's so true. How many Christians today, walking around, down in the dumps, mad at the world. Why? They're holding some unforgiveness in their heart against somebody, a brother or sister in the church. They won't go back to that church. You know how they treated me? Folks, forgiveness is the key to keeping the unity of the Spirit. I'm so glad we know that here at this church. I am so thankful for that. In the duty of forgiving, we must from our hearts forgive. Note, we do not forgive our offending brother aright, nor acceptably if we do not forgive them from within the heart. For that is it that God looks at. No malice. That word malice means ill will. That's when you want to hurt somebody. It's not good. No malice or ill will can be harbored there in the heart. No projects of revenge can be hatched there, nor desires of it, as there are in many who outwardly appear peaceable and reconciled. Yet this is not enough. We must from the heart desire and seek the welfare even of those that have offended us and hurt us. There's the key. You know what? Jesus has forgiven me for so much sin in my life. How can I not forgive somebody who hurts me when I have been forgiven of so much? How can you not forgive somebody who hurts you when you have been forgiven? In closing, Dr. Ed Murphy tells of a middle-aged Christian woman who was married to a godly Christian man for some 25 years. She was having problems in her marriage and sensed some demonic attachment. She could not understand why she had such deep feelings of bitterness and hatred and anger in her heart, because her and her husband truly loved the Lord and they were serving him. After months of in-depth counseling with Dr. Murphy, the sad truth finally came out. She confided to him in how that when she was a little girl, her grandfather would fondle and molest her sexually. This scarred her so bad that she harbored deep feelings of resentment and hatred toward her grandfather, who had been dead for many years now. And the way to deliverance for her was by forgiveness to her grandfather. And oh, what blessed peace she found when she did. We have to release. We have to release, folks. When somebody hurts us, we have to let it go. Let it slide like water off a duck's back. Let it go. Forgive that person. You know how you can do it best? Pray for that person. When you pray for that person, it's hard to be mad at them when you're praying for the Lord to bless them, right? And you will truly, from the heart, there's power in forgiveness, folks. There's serious power in it. Now, go to Isaiah chapter 30. In closing, Isaiah chapter number 30. I love this passage. It's such a powerful text concerning adversity, concerning something that we all face. Isaiah chapter number 30. And look with me in Isaiah chapter 30 at verse number 19. Let's back up to verse 18. Don't miss this. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed, that's happy, are all they that wait for him. Verse 19, here's what I want you to see. For the people shall, that's believers, shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. That's when you pray. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And, this is Isaiah 30, verse 20. Though the Lord give you the bread of what? Time out, church. Before we continue reading. Who gave them the bread of adversity?
The Lord.
The Lord. You see it? God allowed it in their lives. Verse 30, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into the corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Isaiah, by the Holy Ghost, just said that when you go through adversity, when the Lord allows you to eat the bread of adversity, trouble in your life, he says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Turn not to the right hand, not to the left. That voice is the Spirit of God, believer. That voice is God's voice directing you and leading you out of that adversity. Did you see it? Oh, I'm so glad that even though the Lord allows me to go through trials and tribulations and adversity, his voice is with me saying, Bob, this is the way. This is the way out. Follow my leading. Follow my voice. Don't turn to the right or the left, and I'll take care of you, and I'll bring you through. Glory to God. In closing, did you ever think about the dandelion? Dandelion.
Yes.
Interestingly, the dandelion, you know I'm a researcher. The dandelion has a peculiarity from which the Christian believer may derive a wonderful lesson. The fact is that you cannot keep a good dandelion down. Listen, it will always come up to the sunshine. If the grass is 1 inch high, the dandelion will come up 2 inches. If the grass grows 4 inches high, the dandelion grows 5. If the grass is 10 inches high, the dandelion comes up 11 inches. Why? It never stays down under its circumstances. Listen, so should the Christian believer always stay on top of all the enemy attacks around him. Just like the dandelion, so must we rise above our circumstances and behold the glorious sunshine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Rise above those growing weeds that want to choke your spiritual life. Rise above those thorns and thistles that want to choke your spiritual health. And look and admire the beautiful sun. He's shining on you today. A poem, author unknown, entitled Made of the Right Stuff. A little brown cork fell into the path of a whale who lashed it down with his angry tail. But in spite of its blows, it quickly arose and floated serenely before his nose. Said the cork to the whale, "You may flap and sputter and frown, but you never, never can keep me down. For I'm made of the stuff that is buoyant enough to float instead of to drown." Learn a great lesson from that little cork. Don't stay down. Float and rise above those trials and that adversity. Let's be like that little cork. No matter how many times we're lashed down by the storms of adversity, we're going to rise up. The Bible says a good man falleth 7 times and getteth up. And getteth up. Hey, we all fall. We all disappoint the Lord from time to time. The key is, what do you do about it? And the key is to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and get up. Folks, in overcoming adversity, we must listen to the voice of our dear Lord as he shows us the way to walk through our trials and out of them all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the scriptural method of overcoming adversity. Lord, the first step to it is knowing that you are with us in the midst of that adversity. You won't leave us or forsake us. We may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do." And secondly, Lord, we must recognize that you are the one that allows us into that adversity. And you're simply causing us to look up to thee. And Lord, thirdly, we must realize that your voice is with us in the midst of that adversity, leading us and guiding us and bringing us out shining like gold, just like Joseph. And Lord, I thank you so much for that fifth point, that we must forgive those who put us into adverse situations. We must, from the heart, release that bondage of unforgiveness and let go that bitterness. And Lord, love and pray for those who harm us. We're so thankful, Lord, that your word has all the answers today. And we're so grateful that we know, no matter what we face in our lives, Jesus is with us. We need not fear. Captain Jesus is on the throne, and he will see us through all the way to the shores of heaven. We love you this morning, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn of invitation this morning before we eat some coffee, snacks and coffee in the kitchen. And let's open up our hymnals. We'll stand. And we will turn to hymn 257, a really appropriate hymn for the message this morning, because this is what we need to do when we're going through adversity. Amen. Big smile from that woman. Indeed, she knows. That is exactly what we need to do. Trust and obey. First, third, and fifth of hymn 257. Oh, thank you, Lord. Listen to the words.
when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the third, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly prepare. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and trust and obey, oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet. Amen. Oh, we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Everybody now, trust and obey. Oh, there's no other in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Good singing this morning. Before we have Brother Carl dismiss us in prayer, I want my son to come up here for a minute. Our soldiers home from Afghanistan. Amen. Yeah. So proud of my son. Brother Carl.
Study your word, to know what your will for us is to be, Lord, and to have your guidance to keep with us every day. We thank you, Lord, for the safe return of Stephen. Mm. We thank you, Lord, for the safe return of all of our boys that have gone to serve, Lord, and we pray that you bring them back safely. We thank you, Lord, that with just a little faith, we can learn to, as the song says, trust and obey, Lord, that when something in adversity comes along, that we know that you're there to help us rise above it. We just pray, Lord, that you'd walk with and guide us. You'd help us, Lord, through each day and through the problems as well as the joys, Lord. We thank you for the blessings you bestow upon us and ask you to walk with and guide us. Ask you to bring us back this evening safe and sound. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.